Good morning. Today, Daf in Sachem Kovav. We are in the bottom of Kovam and Bays, and in Yanni Kiddush. Kiddush and Avdala has been the topic of discussion now for almost a week. I know we're in the 10th Parak of Pesachim, and generally speaking, we're going to come back to the Seder, in fact, in tomorrow's Daf. So we're going to return back to our Mishnah. We're going to go back to the Seder Halayla, tomorrow, halfway through the Daf. In the meantime, however, we get to enjoy topics regarding Kiddush and Havdalah and some extraordinarily basic questions regarding the nature of Kiddush and the nature of Havdalah. Some of the more basic Gemaras regarding Kiddush come up in today's very Daf. We're going to get to that in just a short amount of time. However, we're going to start off a Daf with 8 points to make. We have 8 conclusions that the Gemara is going to arrive at based on a Braisa that we saw yesterday. It's not the first time we saw the Braisa. In fact, in this Braisa, that we quoted yesterday, so we've gone over it already twice now here in the 10th Parak of Pesachim. We saw it on Kuf Beis, we saw it again on Kuf Hei, so the Braisa. So let's review the Braisa, because we're going to make 8 points from the Braisa, so it'd be fair to be just slightly more familiar with the Braisa before we make our 8 points. If you want to take a look again back at the Braisa, 5 lines from the top of the Amud, you don't have to turn the page, on Kuf Hei and Beis. So Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Nichmas the Beis of Moshe Shabbos, so he's coming home. Presumably from Shul, and presumably after Maariv. Now, you'll see why I make those points in just a moment. So, Mevarech Aliyam V'Lamor V'Alabisam, V'Achakach Omer Havdalah Alakos. So, you're going to make your standard brachas for Havdalah. Start with wines, then go to Ner, and then go to Besamim. And afterwards, Havdalah Alakos, meaning you make the bracha of Havdalah. Hopefully that order bothers you a little bit. It should bother you. In the Braisa that we just cited, so it's more followed by Besamim. We're going to come back to that point in just a moment. V'imein lo elakos achad. Now the Braisa continues. Now let's say you only have 1 cup of wine. And here's what you like to do. You like to have Malava Malka. So having Malava Malka means that you're going to need another cup of wine because you're going to bench. You're going to bench over a cup of wine, which is a discussion that we're going to have momentarily. So, but you only have 1 cup of wine. So I have Avdala where I need a cup of wine. I need benching where I need a cup of wine. So what do you do under those circumstances where I only have 1 cup of wine? My resources are limited. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what you do. So minicho ad la'achar ha'mazon m'shashim kula la'acharav. So what you'll do is you'll leave it over. You'll leave it over until after the meal. And then, so you'll eat now. And m'shashim kula la'acharav. And now at the conclusion of benching, so you're going to bench over that cup of wine, and before making a Borei Pri HaGafen, you'll take the same cup of wine, and you'll make Havdalah over that cup of wine as well. Now, we already pointed this out a couple of times. I'm more than happy to go over it again. So Tosfos already earlier in this Perek asked the obvious question. We learned in yesterday's daf, you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah. And over here, the Gemara is advocating that what you should do is you should have your Malava Malka, and then do the Havdalah after the Malava Malka. So you're eating before Havdalah, but Tosfos says, yeah, but over here, Ein Breira. In other words, you only have 1 cup of wine. You want to bench over that cup of wine, and you want to make Havdalah over that cup of wine. So under these circumstances where there's a need, there's a cause to eat before Havdalah, so under these circumstances, it would be okay. Ma She'ein Kein, if there's really no, there's no excuse, so if there's no excuse, so you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah. Okay, good. So that's a point that we already went over numerous times. Good, that was the Braisa. And now we could drop down to where we left off yesterday. Shema Mina, Mia, Masis, and Tamne. So you can learn 8 things from the Braisa. Now you remember yesterday we quoted the Braisa, but only to try to clarify, the Gemara's point that it was discussing yesterday. Ravina was asking from Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, if you didn't make Kiddush on Friday night, can you make Kiddush on Shabbos day? And the Gemara, in its course of discussion, quoted the Braisa as part of that discussion. So the truth of the matter is that we weren't really focusing on the Braisa. We were just bringing in the Braisa yesterday incidentally. But now, once we have the Braisa in front of us, the Gemara now wants to focus full of its attention on the Braisa. And the Gemara wants to arrive at 8 conclusions from the Braisa. Shema mina miya masis and tamne. Shema mina. So we're going to now go through 8 points that one could deduce from the Braisa. Number 1, Hamavdal betul tzarich shi'avdal alakos. So number 1 is that you already said Havdalah and that's in your Maariv. So the nusach of Tfila Maariv is that with the first bracha of the Bakasha, Satachonain. So what we do is we add Tachonantana, we add Havdalah in the Maariv. So if you added a Tachon Antanu in the Maariv, so that's Havdalah. You made Havdalah. Good. So now when you go home, so you have to make Havdalah again. So yeah, that's the first point of the Braisa. First point of the Braisa is that despite the fact that you said Havdalah and Shul, you're going to have to say Havdalah again. Now, there really is no absolute indication that you said Havdalah and Shul in the Braisa that we just read. So we just know that he came home. We don't know that he was in Shul, and we don't know that he said Atachanan Tanu. But as the Rashbam over here points out, Mistama, meaning we're gonna assume that the Braisa is dealing with a regular scenario in which you were in Shul, you came home from Shul, on Motzei Shabbos, you already said Atachanan Tanu. That's presumably what's happening over here. And yet you're saying Havdalah Alakos as well. Okay, so Havdalah has to come in two forms. It has to come in Tefillah, and it has to come Alakos. Okay, obviously what makes for a much longer discussion, which is going to be beyond the scope of the daf, is then what's the purpose of two Havdalahs? If we made Havdalah and Shul, why do we have to make Havdalah again Alakos? And what exactly is the function of Havdalah that we say in Ma'ariv, as opposed to the function of Havdalah that we make Alakos? So again, that is cause for a much longer discussion. But just be aware of the fact that clearly over here the Gemara is speaking about the dual Havdalah that one is required to do on every Motzei Shabbos. Number two, Shema Minah, Bracha Tu Nakos. You're benching over a cup of wine. You have to bench over a cup of wine. Okay, nowhere does it say clearly that you have to bench over a cup of wine. But over here, the indication is that you have to bench over a cup of wine. Now, there is no indication in the Gemara over here. What are we talking about? You're benching with a Zimun, you're benching with a Minyan. You're benching with yourself. You have to bench over a cup of wine. I would dare say that you look around. Most of the time you see people benching. They're not benching over a cup of wine. Yes, at a Sheva Brachos, they're benching over a cup of wine, but that's because of Sheva Brachos. And on Shabbos, some people bench over a cup of wine. Good. But you certainly, at least in my limited time here, so I've not seen the majority of people bench over a cup of wine. Tosus over here, third Tosus on the Amud. So, he is not sure, but he starts off by pointing out Ksas Mashma, third Tosfos on the Amud. Ksas Mashma Dafilu Biyachid Tuna Kos Dehanichnas Mashma Shu Yichidi. Okay, so you want to read the Gemara? Simply says Tosfos. It sounds like that you're just one person coming home from Shul, and still you're benching over a cup of wine. Sounds that way. Okay, so here again, the halacha gets much more involved than what we're able to cover right now in terms of the requirement to bench over a cup of wine. But a simple reading of the Gemara, it's not the psak halacha, but the simple reading of the Gemara is that even for one person, you bench over a cup of wine. So that's the second conclusion to draw from here. Again, that's not the final halacha. Number three, Shema Minah Kosher Bracha Tzarech Shiur. When you're making a bracha al hakos, so there has to be a requisite amount in the cup. How do we see this from the Braisa? So when we say shear, of course we're talking about a revius, we're talking about a quarter of a log, and somewhere approximately 4 ounces. But how do we see that from the Braisa? So the Rashbam points out over here, because look, if there was no shear requirement, so then what was the problem that we had to solve for in the Braisa? Well, we had to make Havdalah on the coast, and we had to bench over a cup of wine. So assuming that we have a revius, so I got a great solution. So take half the revius and use it for one. Take half the revius and use it for the other. By virtue of the fact that that's not a solution to the problem. So it's pretty clear in the Braisa. It's very clear in the Braisa. Therefore, that you need a shear for both. You need a shear for the benching. You need a shear for the Havdalah. Okay. Ushmamina. We're already up to the fourth conclusion of the Braisa. Ushmamina. Hamevarech sarech sheyitom. That when you make the bracha, so you need a teima, you need to taste. Meaning, to make a bracha over a cup of wine, you could have made the argument that it's just I'm accentuating the bracha, I'm giving chashivas to the bracha by the fact that I have a cup of wine. I'm holding a cup of wine in my hand. Now, it's true you made a borei priya gafen, and in the havamin of the Gemara, what else are you going to do? You're going to make a borei priya gafen and you're not going to taste it? It's a little bit challenging to understand like what we would have thought the game plan would have been. But nevertheless, but it's clear from the Gemara's conclusion that you need a te'ima. Now, someone needs to drink the wine. Someone needs to drink the wine. Now, the Rashbam over here says, doesn't have to be you. Meaning, the requirement over here is just that somebody has to drink the wine. The Rashbam writes, Shema minam avarach sarach shiyitam, o hu, o echad min hashomen. Either you or somebody else, o v'shiyas echad mehem yatsu kulam. By one person drinking, everyone's going to be yotzei. So making a bracha al hakos requires that somebody drink the wine. And look at the end of the Rashbam. Omi b'raisa zeh shamin, in the last two lines of this Rashbam. Omi b'raisa zeh shamin tzitzarach shiyitam, di'ilo tam lei. Because if there's no requirement of te'ima, once again, we would have had a very simple solution. Livrach ala chad, I'm sorry, trey zimne, havdala b'shaita b'lo shtiyo, brachas hamazim b'shaita v'yishta. So first make havdalah over the cup of wine. Don't drink from that cup of wine. And then bench separately. And then you can drink from the cup of wine. By virtue of the fact that that's not a solution, providing the brisa, so that obviously means that you have to be drinking both times from this cup of wine. Okay, that was already point number four. Point number five of the brisa. Shma mina tamo pagmo. That once you take a sip from the cup, so you're pogim the cup. Meaning that you made a havdalah over the cup and then you take a sip from it. So that's a pagima. That means to say that there's a defect now in the cup. Well, what does that mean? The cup is defective? Or I should say the wine in the cup is defective. It means that you just simply can't use it now for another kosher bracha. The Rashbam writes over here towards the bottom of the Amud, four lines from the bottom. Shema minatamo pagmo lebercha zamazo midalo mavdo bereisha kodem achila vishosim ishayir hamosar lebercha zamazo. So maybe what you could do over here is that you can make the havdalah on the cup of wine, have the smallest sip. Now, it's a little bit difficult to understand, have the small sip. We just said that you need a shear. Maybe what the Gemara is entertaining right now is that having a shear just simply means having a shear in the cup. Not that you have to drink a shear. It's a little bit difficult, but maybe we could suggest that. Tosfos over here says over it, similar to the Rashbam, slightly more detail. Last Tosfos on the Amud. So right now, here's the thought process of the Gemara, and that is that you have just a little bit more than a revius. But here's what you don't have. You don't have a double revius in the cup. And it's evident by the fact that the Braisa says that it's kos echad, it's one cup. So now we could say like this. So what happened was is that you have a revius plus. And you made your first bracha on the coast, right? Let's go in the correct order. First, it's going to be Havdalah. You made the first bracha on the coast, and you have a little sip. And you'll still have a revius, because right now we're assuming it's a revius plus. You'll still have a revius, and yet the Braisa doesn't say that this would be a good solution. It must be that once you take a sip from the cup, so you're a pogame, you've now created a defect in the cup, and that you cannot use this for a kosher bracha. And I assume the simple svar behind this is that It's not bechavad. It's not a position of honor where this is a kosher bracha. And now what you're doing with a kosher bracha is that you're using a cup that was sipped from somebody else. It's for lack of a better term, it's pasnish. It's just simply not appropriate. That's what I assume is the svar behind this halacha. That already was point number five. Point number six. We are on the very bottom of Kuf Hamad Beis Shema Mina Tam Avdil. Now over here. Yeah, you already drank from the wine. So, and not only did, I'm sorry, let's say it better. Over here, you already had a meal. In a scenario where you only have one cup, so that means to say you had a meal. And despite that, you're going to be making havdalah afterwards. We're talking about the second part of the brisa, where you only have one cup of wine. So, again, the brisa solution over there is that you'll first have your meal, your malava malka, and then you'll bench afterwards, and over the benching, you're going to also make havdalah as well. So what happened was is that Shabbos came to an end and you ate. Now, remember yesterday's daf? You're not allowed to eat after you're not allowed to start a meal after Shabbos has come to an end. So what the Gemara is entertaining over here is the following. It's a strange Havamina, but it's not just a Havamina. We're going to see at the end of today's daf that there are people who subscribe to that. And that's the idea that if Shabbos came to an end and you didn't make Havdalah and you ate something, you're no longer eligible to make Havdalah. I know that sounds a little bit strange, but we could almost view it like a kanas. Like you didn't start off your Motzei Shabbos with Havdalah. You start off with eating. That's it. You lost the right and privilege to make Havdalah. Now, what are you supposed to do? Meaning, you do want to eat again. So we'll learn later this morning that you will be afforded an opportunity to make Havdalah tomorrow. But tonight, that's it. You lost your chance. There's an opinion out there. So what the Gemara now is pointing out is that you can't, from our brisa, it seems like the correct deduction is not that way. That despite the fact that you ate, mavdil, you still have the right to make havdalah. Right? Look at the last Rashbam over here. He writes, alfa pisha achal, mavdil. Even though you ate, you still make havdalah. V'lo yamte madlamachar kodem achila. And you don't get postponed until tomorrow. De'ik alaman damar lekamen, because again, the Rashbam now is quoting the Gemara that we're going to see a little bit from now. Tom Eino Mavdil, Hachilo Garcina. Okay, and then he goes over a girsa that we don't even have. But anyway, so that's a sixth conclusion, right? We could just push back for just a moment on the sixth conclusion, meaning the case of Tom Mavdil is not exactly the same case as the Brisa over here. In the case of the Brisa over here, meaning the person wants to do the right thing. And the reason why he's eating before Havdalah is because he wants to bench over a cup of wine. So it doesn't seem like our Brisa over here necessarily brings us to the conclusion that if you eat before Havdalah, so Einam Havdalah, you lose the right to say Havdalah. You could say that that's talking about a scenario where the person is just blatantly ignoring Havdalah. Our person over here is not blatantly ignoring Havdalah. He's trying to navigate having one cup of wine and needing to both bench and make Havdalah over that one cup of wine. So the Gemara doesn't make this point, but certainly just to push back a little bit on the sixth conclusion. Seventh conclusion of the Gemara, Shema Minah, Omer Beis Kedushas Al Kos Echad. So you could do two Kedushas on one cup. Now this takes us back to Daf Kuf Beis about 4 days ago, where the Gemara there says that Ein Omrim Beis Kedushas Al Kos Echad. You're not allowed to bundle two different brachas over one cup of wine. But as the Gemara said on Kuf Beis, and now we're going to get to repeat again today, and that is that's when you have two cups of wine. But in the event that you don't have two cups of wine, so what you're going to do is exactly what we laid out. That first you're going to eat, then you're going to bench, and while you're benching over that cup of wine, you're also going to make Havdalah in that cup of wine as well. That is the seventh conclusion of the Braisa. And finally, conclusion number eight, Shema Mina Beishama Hiva Liba Derev Yehuda. And finally, now we get to the order in which Havdalah is articulated in the Braisa. It starts off with a bracha of yain, so far so good. And then in the Braisa it goes Mu'or Besamim and then Havdalah. And that's not our order. What do you mean Mu'or Besamim and then Havdalah? So Besamim Rosh, right? The Besamim comes first, right? It's Yain Besamim Yain Besamim near Havdalah. So the Gemara says, so from the Braisa, so it's Beis Shammai as reported to us by Rabbi Yehuda. Now, admittedly, that of course is a really funny conclusion of the Braisa because, right, the Braisa goes like Beis Shammai. We don't paskin like Beis Shammai. So that is it's certainly a curiosity that meaning it's correct. Don't get me wrong. It's a correct conclusion of the Braisa, but we're looking to navigate through what is considered eight halachic takeaway points from the Braisa. The eighth point over here is not a takeaway point. It's correct. It's accurate, but it's not a take-home point. We don't pass like Beit Shammai. So as much as it's correct, it's certainly a curiosity that look what we learned from the Braisa. Okay. It's true, but we don't practice that. Okay. Just a couple more words in the Gemara regarding this idea of kos pagum. That if I took a sip from a cup, so now the cup is contaminated, and I don't mean that in the viral manner. I mean that in the sense that once somebody takes a sip from it, so now to make a kosher bracha on this cup that somebody took a sip from, so inappropriate. Now, Rav Ashi Amar Tama Pagma v'kosher bracha tzarich shir chana milsehi. So the way Rav Ashi understands as follows. Tamo Pagmo is not a separate conclusion as we reported originally. We reported it as lesson number five of the eight lessons. Rav Ashi says, incorrect. Really, Tamo Pagmo is the same thing as saying that you need a shear, you need a requisite amount. And Vahachi Kamar, and Rav Ashi says, I'll explain to you what I mean. The reason why tamo pagmo is because you need a shear. Meaning, this is the Rashi's understanding over here, and it's a simple pshat in Rav Ashi. And that is, tamo pagmo, what's the problem with tamo pagmo? So the way I present it up until now is that it's just, you take a sip from it, and it's now just simply, it's pasnish. It's inappropriate that this should be used now for a kosher bracha. Rav Ashi says, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat's like this. Tamo pagmo means that right now it has exactly a revius, not anything more than a revius. And if somebody takes a sip from it, you know what you've done? You've depleted it from the shear of a revius. So Rav Ashi's understanding is that the problem behind tamo pagmo is that right now it's less than a shear, which means that according to Rav Ashi, if it had more than the shear and you took a sip from it, so and as long as you still have a revius, it would be fine. That's Rav Ashi's understanding of tamo pagmo. But as we're going to see right now, not everyone's in agreement with Rav Ashi. Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi kapid achatz v'pigima. So Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi was makpid, that even though it was a chatzva, even though it was some sort of barrel, some sort of small barrel, but still, somebody took a sip from it, no good, it's pagum. And you can't, not use the balance of the wine, you cannot use the balance of the wine for a kosher bracha. Rav Idi Bar Shishi Kapid Akasa Pegima. Rav Idi Bar Ashi was makbid on a kos, the idea of kos pagum. And Mar Bar Avashi Kapid Afilo Achavita Pegimasa. And Mar Bar Avashi was makbid, even if it was on a chavis, even if it was on a barrel. Rashi over here says barrel. So Rashi, I'm sorry, not Rashi, Rashbam. Rashbam over here says barrel. He says chavios ketanos. We don't mean big barrels. Can you imagine? Or you have a big barrel. Somebody took a sip from it, and now that's it. The remainder of that wine now is kos pagum. So that would be very difficult. The Rashbam says no. There are small barrels over here, right? Avalim chavishol etz gedola in laakpid. But the Rashbam says that if we're talking about a chavishol etz, we're talking about a big wooden barrel. So under those circumstances, even Mar Bar Avashi, who seems to be the most sensitive regarding this idea of kos pagum, even under those circumstances, he wouldn't be concerned. The Rashbam also writes over here, the previous Rashbam, the end of Dibra Maslo Kapit Akasa Pegima, Umiyu, last line of that Rashbam, Im Ein Lo Aliyayim Pagum, Mekadosh Lov, Dekapit Lechatchila Mashma. Okay, so over here, Hakpada means what? So the Rashbam says Hakpada means that this is an ideal situation that we should try to avoid. Ideally, you shouldn't use a cup of wine that's Pagum, but that's Lechatchila, but Bidiyavit, if that's your only cup of wine. So then the Rashbam writes that under those circumstances, certainly, you should make kiddush or make whatever bracha you want over a kos pagum. This is just a din lechatchila. That's the opinion of the Rashbam. Okay, Ad Kan. That takes us now to the end of the first part of today's daf. We just concluded 8 separate points from the brisa from yesterday's daf. We spoke a little bit more about kos pagum. The Gemara now continues. As I mentioned, so this inyanim of kiddush and Abdallah. And here now we get to one of the more central brises that deal with the mitzvah of Kiddush. Kiddush is a mitzvah, as we're going to see in just a moment. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. And where's the source of this mitzvah d'oraisa to make Kiddush? Where in the Torah does it say that you make Kiddush on Shabbos? So there is no clear record in the Torah that says that you make Kiddush on Shabbos. So as we're going to see right now together, so the idea of making Kiddush is going to be a drasha, Tanu Rabbanan, Zachar Siyama Shabbos Kacho. So the Pasuk says, Zachar Siyama Shabbos Kacho. So it is of the Aseret Dibros, number 4. And Zachreu Al Hayayin. And what we must do is that we have to mention Shabbos, remember Shabbos, and not only that, but do it over a cup of wine. Ein Li Ela B'Yom. Now that's, of course, during the daytime. But Laila Minayin, how do I know that we also have to do it at night as well? So Tamar Lamar, Zachor Siyama Shabbos Kacho. So it is based on the Pasuk of Zachor Siyama Shabbos Kacho. Now the Braisa over here, a number of points in the Braisa that just are difficult. One of the Gemara itself is going to take up, and so we'll hold off when we get to the Gemara, when we're going to discuss how the Braisa thinks that it's more obvious that you should make making kiddush during the day as opposed to the night. Okay, the Gemara is going to take up that issue. But meanwhile, also in the Braisa is the idea that, you know, Zachros Yom HaShabbos Kacho, cup of wine. How do we get from Zachros Yom HaShabbos Kacho, which certainly is the idea of remembering and mentioning and articulating. That for sure, meaning the articulation of Kiddush. So that is pretty clearly stated in the Pasuk. But the idea that over a cup of wine, what is that coming from? So Tosfos over here writes, 4th Tosfos on the Amud, Zochreo layayin dezechir ksiv al hayayin. Zichru kayayin levanon, nazkira dodayich miyayin. So okay, so we have a couple of psukim in Tanakh that make a connection between zechira and a cup of wine. V'ay zechira hainu kiddush. Now zechira, of course, is kiddush. Deviyachul lo matzin ala kos, ela betfila. Kedamer b'shabbos, v'lo nitken ala kos, ela lohutzi banav av neveso. Okay, you'll forgive me. I didn't mean to read that. Anyway, the discussion of Vayichulu, what we're doing, saying it after davening. Anyway, that's not the part I'd like to focus on. The part I want to focus on is on the wine aspect of it. Anyway, pick it up right now. Venira. Tosos writes over here. So Kufav Amud Aleph, 4th Tosos, about 10 lines down in the Tosos. Vinira de Kiddush alayayin asmachtahi. So Tosos says that really it's his belief that even though the Gemara just quoted a brisa and we have a drasha that Kiddush is alayayin, but Tosos says over here Kiddush as a din d'oraisa, Kiddush alayayin. So that's a din d'rabbanan. The Chachamim wanted to give significance to the Kiddush, make it an important event. So What they did is they revolved it around a cup of wine. Right? Do you recall? The Rashbam spoke about this. When we talked about Kiddush B'Makom Seuda, so the Rashbam also expressed this idea as well. To make Kiddush even more significant, meaning it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. In of itself, of course, it's significant. But to make it even more significant, so the Chachamim said, let's do it over a cup of wine. It gives chashivas and significance to the Kiddush that we're making. So, but the idea that in the Braisa it sounds like Kiddush Aliyin is a din d'oraisa, so Tosfos says, no, it's not. Kiddush Aliyin is just a smachta, it's just a, it's just a remez, it's a Chachamim attaching their din to the Pasuk in the Torah, but it's not really a din d'oraisa. Which means that be'etzem, what is the mitzvah in the Torah? So that's zechira. It's just the mentioning of Kiddush, okay, and a really lengthy discussion, starts from there. Which we're not going to have, but it's really interesting in terms of what happens when the husband is at shul, and he may kiddush in shul, not over a cup of wine, although somebody does. We discussed that back on Daf Kuf. But you make kiddush in shul, and right, and you say vayichulu, and now you're mekadesh Shabbos, and then what happens is that you go home, you already made kiddush, and you already fulfilled your mitzvah d'oraisa. Right, the idea that kiddush alayin, you didn't say kiddush alayin, okay, but you fulfilled the mitzvah d'oraisa of kiddush. And now you go home and you have a group of people, your wife, your kids, who hasn't heard Kiddush yet and still has a Chiyuv D'oraisa to fulfill. And you already fulfilled your Chiyuv D'oraisa. Okay, good. Lengthy discussion to be had in terms of how to navigate that. Does that even need to be navigated at all? Okay, not for now, but certainly that's one important point regarding the nature of the mitzvah of Kiddush as it relates to wine. Now let's go back to the Gemara, and now let's deal with the Gemara's point, which is that in the Braisa, so what came out from the Braisa is that you had Kiddush, you have a mitzvah of Kiddush that's learned out from the pasuk of Zachor Yom Shabbos Kacho, and the Braisa says, of course, Kiddush Bayom. What about Kiddush Balayla? So Balayla Minayin. So the Gemara now asks the question. We're back in the Gemara. So Balayla Minayin Adarabi Ika Kiddush Balaylahu. So the Gemara says, I really don't even understand what was the progression of the Braisa. Kiddush during the day is obvious. How do I know about Kiddush at night? How do I know about Kiddush at night? So really, it's mistaber to go in the other direction. Meaning, Kiddush at night is the more obvious Kiddush because at the introduction of Shabbos, which obviously is at night, that's the time that you want to sanctify Shabbos. And then from that point going forward, then I need a drasha. So Tanami Hadra Alaila Vikanasiv like Kra Diamama. And then of course the continuation of the Braisa doesn't make any sense. Meaning the way the Braisa is presented to us, I for sure need to make Kiddush during the day. What about at night? Zachar is Yom. Well, I don't understand. You're looking for a source for Kiddush at night, and now you quote the Pasuk of Zachar is Yom. So Tanami Hadra Alaila Vikanasiv like Kra Diamama. Okay, so really what the Braisa is doing is it's confusing us because it seems to be that the Iker Kiddush should be the one at night, and then if anything, the added Kiddush, the added Rasha should be the one during the day. So Hachi Kamer, so the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to have to reinterpret the Braisa and even edit a little bit the Braisa. So over here now, as we're editing the Braisa and presenting now, a revised version of the Braisa. So yeah, Zochrei al Hayayin is Bichnisa, so that's upon the entrance of Shabbos. Ein li ela b'layla b'yominayin. Now, that's very good. So that is Kiddush at night, as Shabbos is entering. So that's obvious. How do I know also by Yom? So Tamar Lomar Zochrei is Yom HaShabbos HaKacho. So Yom HaShabbos. So the Yom is included also for Kiddush as well. Okay, so what comes out now in the revised understanding of the Braisa is that the mitzvah, the Braisa of Kiddush, that's the Kiddush at night. That's when Shabbos is being introduced. That's when we're sanctifying Shabbos. So that's Kiddush's Edin D'Oraisa. And then in the daytime, so also Kiddush. Why? So we have what seems to be a drasha. But it will become evident, it will become clear. And the truth of the matter is we know this already. It's not bona fide Kiddush during the day, right? The Gemara already made this point. This is not news. The Gemara already said that during the daytime, you're not making Kiddush. You're making a Bar Priya Gafen. In a moment that we're going to make that point really clear. You're making a Bar Priya Gafen. So some have the minhag of saying one paragraph before, two paragraphs before, Sfardim say even more before, but, and beautiful. Minhagim. But in terms of the Iker HaKiddush, the Iker HaKiddush, if there was Kiddush on Shabbos day, it would have with it a bracha, meaning aside from the Bor Priya Gafen, there would be a bracha that you'd be making over Kiddush, like we do on Friday night. There is no bracha, meaning it's just Bor Priya Gafen. So it's clear that even though the Gemara describes it as Kiddush that we make during the day, but it's not formal Kiddush, it's not Kiddush like we say on Friday night. In fact, we're going to see in just a moment, we're going to see right now, the Amoraim weren't 100% clear what exactly should be this, you know, and I'm putting in air quotes, what should be this Kiddush that we're making at the daytime? So, Bayomai Mevarech, the Gemara asked exactly this question. What exactly are you making as your Kiddush for the day? So, I'm Rav Yehuda Bar Pira Gafen. So, Rav Yehuda says, I'll tell you what you do. You make a bracha, Bar Pira Gafen, meaning that the Kiddush during the day is going to be an extraordinarily condensed, not even condensed, it's just a Bar Pira Gafen over a cup of wine, and that's it, and Zehu. Again, this is not against the minhagim of saying psukim before the Bar Pira Gafen. Good, they're good, and obviously we should do them. But the point is that there's no bracha on Kiddush. Okay, Rav Ashi ikol lemechuzah amr le liktish lamar kiddusha rabba. So Rav Ashi goes to the town of Mechuza, and they say to him liktish lamar kiddusha rabba. So do us a favor. So could you make kiddusha rabba? Okay, so. Here we have in the Gemara a description of the Kiddush during the day, and the Gemara gives it the term Kiddusha Rabbah, the great Kiddush. So what exactly does that mean? So the Rashbam over here doesn't explain, but other Rishonim say that the Gemara over here is speaking in a bit of a euphemism, meaning it's Kiddush minor, right? I'm not speaking euphemistically, meaning that the Friday night Kiddush is Kiddush major, and this Kiddush over here is Kiddush minor. We don't want to say that. We don't want to speak like that. So therefore, we speak euphemistically. We call it Kiddusha Rabbah. Okay, so there is a requirement to make Kiddush during the day. It is not abundantly clear what exactly we're trying to accomplish with that Kiddush. Again, another much longer discussion in terms of what we're trying to accomplish with this Kiddush. But clearly over here, there's this idea that we're making some sort of minor Kiddush at the mealtime during the day. It's also, by the way, not clear whether or not this Kiddush comes with meals number 2 and 3 or just meal number 2. Obviously, right, it's a funny question to ask. Everyone only makes Kiddush, only makes a Bor Priya Gafen at meal number 2, not meal number 3. But the Rishonim deliberate this very issue. Anyway, so what's the Kiddush going to be? So they asked, it's a great story coming up. So they asked, Rav Ashi, do us a favor, could you make Kiddusha Rabbah? So Ahavulei, so they gave him a cup of wine. So Sever Mayniu Kiddusha Rabbah. Now, Rav Ashi at this point in time is thoroughly confused. I'm going to guess, and hopefully I'm going to guess correctly, that Rav Ashi had a minhag of saying Bor Priya Gafen when he had his meal during the day, as per what we just learned together in the Braisa. But I think what confused Rav Ashi, if I may guess, is that they were calling it Kiddusha Rabbah. And so in his mind, what Rav Ashi was thinking is that maybe their minhag is to say something in addition to Bor Priya Gafen. Okay, so Rav Ashi had the following tactic. It's just a brilliant on-the-fly maneuver by Rav Ashi. Amr Michti, Kol HaBrachus Kulam Bor Priya Gafen, Amr Breisha. So he says, look, I'm not really sure what they're talking about, but look, I know how to start it off. Meaning anytime you're making a bracha ala kos, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to make a Bor Priya Gafen. So at least I'm going to start off correctly. So he's winging it now. And he starts off with making a Bor Priya Gafen. Amr Bor Priya Gafen, Va'agid Bey. And as he's finishing up his Bor Priya Gafen, so he's schlepping out the last syllables of Bor Priya Gafen. And he's looking around the room. Maybe somebody's going to help him. Maybe somebody will prompt him to if there's something else he needs to say. Something that somebody's going to prompt him. Okay, I don't know why he couldn't have just asked beforehand. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a great story. forgive me if I'm ruining a great story. So Chazi Alu Saba Degachem V'Shasi. So so he sees this older man in the room, and what is he doing? So he's drinking from his cup of wine, meaning everyone had a cup of wine with them, right? And not everyone's required to have a cup of wine, but anyway, this elderly individual had a cup of wine, and Gachem Vishasi, and he started drinking his cup of wine, meaning Kiddush is over, meaning Bor Priya Gafen and good, and now Kiddush has come to a conclusion. So Karya Nafshe Echachamina Barosho, and Rav Ashi was so proud of himself, right? In other words, he basically figured it out. Kiddusha Rabbah was making a Bor Priya Gafen, but he didn't know that, and they confused him by asking him to make Kiddusha Rabbah. Okay, good. And with just a little bit of a little bit of creativity, so he figured out that what you're supposed to do is just simply make a Bor Priya Gafen. Okay, Ad Kan. That takes us to the end of that section. Amri b'nei Rebbe Chiya. Okay, so now we move on to discuss a little bit more of Inyanei Havdalah. That took us through the very basics regarding Kiddush, Kiddush Laila, Kiddush Yom. Continuing now in the Gemara. Amri b'nei Rebbe Chiya. Mishlo hibda b'motzei Shabbos mabda b'holech b'chol Shabbos kula. So let's say you didn't make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos. So you have the whole week to make Havdalah. Now, even though we say the whole week, so we don't mean that literally. Ad kamam Rebbe Zera ad Revi b'Shabbos. So you'll have until Wednesday, meaning Tuesday night. So ki had Yosef Rebbe Zera coming to Rav Asi v'Amr le Rav Asi coming to Rav Yochanan v'Yosef v'Kamar le Inyan Gittin Chada b'Shabbasa Trei b'Shabbasa v'Tlasa b'Basar Shabbasa. So as far as Gittin is concerned, the Rashbam over here explains that a person made a Tanai. He says that the get will be good as long as I give you a certain amount of money, 200 zuz, after Shabbos. Okay, so a Tanai was thrown into the get so that the get will only be activated and validated, but only if the Tanai is fulfilled. And the Tanai happens to be that I'm going to give you 200 zuz after Shabbos. So what does that mean after Shabbos? So you have now Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday in which to give the money, in which to fulfill the Tanai. However, Arba v'chamisha male yuma kamisha basa. But as far as Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is concerned, so that now is assigned to the upcoming Shabbos. So basically, when we take a week, we're breaking up a week. There's 6 days outside of Shabbos. So Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday are shayach for the week prior. And Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are shayach for the upcoming Shabbos. So that means to say that if you didn't say Havdalah, so you have makeup dates of Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Okay. Amar Rav Yaakov Ra'idi Avalo Alaor. If you're going to be making up Havdalah, you failed to make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, so and you're going to make up Havdalah. So fine. So you make the bracha on yain, you make a mavdal, but you don't stay on fire. And the Rashbam writes in the very bottom of the Amud, Avalo al amor the imlo birch al anir bori moria ish b'Motzei Shabbos shuvinu mevarich kach nearly tamadaver kitetani b'makom shenagu. Now, why should that be? So the Rashbam says it's based on a Gemara that we did together right here in Pesachim. Ein mevarchem bo, ela b'lam motzei Shabbos, ol v'tchilas b'rasahu. So we're making the bracha ner because it reminds us of the first fire that was created on Motzei Shabbos. So if you're not making Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, you forgot, or whatever the case was, and you're making it now on Sunday or Monday, so you don't have the tchilas b'rasahu, so therefore you don't make the bracha ner. And what about b'samim? Unclear. Gemara doesn't mention it. Amra Brona Amar Ravanoto Yadav Lo Yikadesh. You wash your hands so you shouldn't be making Kiddush. Meaning to say what? So the Rashbam over here writes as follows. You wash your hands, you shouldn't be making Kiddush. Ela Acher Yikadesh. Vuhu Yotze Yidei Chavasa B'Shmiya V'Shtiya. So the Rashbam says, let's say you wash your hands prior to the meal, but you yourself didn't make Kiddush, but you want to hear Kiddush. For you to make Kiddush, so that would be a Hesach Hadas. For you to hear Kiddush, that would not be a Hesach Hadas. The Rashbam continues. The ain kan Hesach Hadas me'achar shu atzmo inim avarech, aval hu atzmo li'kaddish im nato yadav, kidei shiocha al smach natila d'lifnei Kiddush. The Kiddush mafzik bein natila la'achila. For you to make Kiddush, writes the Rashbam, so that would be a hefsek between the washing and the eating. Because with the Hesach Hadas, it's going to require you to wash again. So, but what you can do is you can have somebody else wash for you. So it's obviously a really interesting Rashbam, because what comes out over here is that for you to articulate and to say the words of Kiddush, so according to, this is the opinion of Rabrona in the name of Rav. For you to articulate Kiddush, in between your Netila and your Motzi, so that would constitute Hesach Hadas, but for you to just hear Kiddush, so on one hand you're going to be Yotzi through Shomer Kohanet, on the other hand it won't be Hesach Hadas, and it takes us to a classic discussion in terms of Shomer Kohanet. When you hear something, it's like you're saying it. So is it mamish like you're saying it, or is it like you're saying it? So over here, with the way the Rashbam understands the Gemara over here, clearly it's more within the realm of it's like you're saying it, but it's not like you're actually saying it. Amlu Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Akati Lo Nach Nashe Derav and Shachinu L'Shmaisasa. So, wow, that's amazing. So, Rob didn't die yet. And meanwhile, we're already forgetting some of the teachings of Rav. Zimnin Segin, Avakem Nakami de Rav. There were many times we were in front of Rav. And Zimnin de Chaviv ala Rifta, Mikarasha Rifta. Zimnin de Chaviv ala Chama, Mikarasha Chama. So, you know, Rav was sometimes in the mood for making Kiddush over wine. Sometimes he was in the mood of making Kiddush over Chala. And the Rashman points out, when he was particularly hungry, so he made Kiddush over Chala. So meanwhile, what do you think happened over there? So what happened over there is he washed his hands, ready to eat the challah, and then he made kiddush over the challah. So it's very clear that kiddush is not serving as a hefsek. The Rashbam writes very clearly. Shayarav Rashbam divra maskel de chaviv alei rifta. He writes Shayarav mikadosh rifta ama lo bay netila achrita. You don't need another netila. Ela mikara mashi yad va'achal nahama de kiddush ama kiddush shel achar netila lo chashav hezachadah. So it's clear that just because you're making kiddush between the washing of your hands and the motzi, so kiddush is right there in the middle. Kiddush is not going to be serving as a hesachadas. So and obviously, by the way, you can see the Rashbam goes on, and you can see a long tosis over here. This idea of making kiddush over bread that just came in our discussion over here, totally out of left field, right? And on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, we talked about how the drush is that kiddush should be made over wine. Okay, and the Rashbam discusses it, and Tosfos discusses it in much greater detail. But anyway, the takeaway point of the Gemara over here is that Kiddush is not serving as a hefsek between Netilas Yadayim and Motzi, right? There's an old minhag. It's attributed to the Ekkis, to the German Jews. But the truth of the matter is, it already goes back to the time of the Ramah. So there's an old minhag that people would wash their hands and then sit down, make Kiddush, and then make Motzi immediately afterwards. And so from the Gemara's conclusion over here, the Kiddush is not going to be as a Chadas. So if that's your Minhag, that's great. And if it's not your Minhag, so then you follow the Minhag. But anyway, that's what comes out from the Gemara over here. Amar Rav Huna. Okay, what we'll do is we'll stop over here. I know we have a little bit more to finish up, but the Tam Avdil, Tam Mikadesh, we'll start with this tomorrow, and it goes a little bit into tomorrow's daf. Anyway, we'll stop over here. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay, our first big topic of today was the 8 conclusions, the 8 takeaway points from the Bryce on Kuf Hamad Beis. The Bryce talks about how you're coming home from Shul, and you're going to first make Havdalah, and then you're going to, and then afterwards you'll have your Malava Malka, and you'll bench over a cup of wine. And if you only have one cup of wine, so then what you could do is you have your Malava Malka, and you'll hold off on the Havdalah, and then when you bench over the cup of wine, so then you're also going to make Havdalah over that same cup of wine. That's the Braisa. And the Gemara, the beginning of today's daf, went over 8 takeaway points that we learned from the Braisa. I'm not going to go over all 8 right now, but 8 lessons to be learned from the Braisa. That's number one. Number two, second topic of today's Gemara, one of the 8 points is this idea of a kos pagum, that when you have a cup and somebody drank from it, so now it's not appropriate. Pasnish, somebody else should be using this as a kosher bracha. Okay, so that should be avoided. And various degrees amongst the Amoraim, exactly what creates a kos pagum. Then, next part of today's daf on Kuf Vav Amud Aleph is the Yesod of Kiddush and the Mitzvah of Kiddush, the Mitzvah Daraisa. I'm making Kiddush on Friday night. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa having a drasha. Now, the drasha Gemara is going on the Kiddush on Friday night, and we saw it together in Tosfos, that even though the Braisa says that Kiddush is ala yayin, but the yayin component of Kiddush, that's a smachta. That's not a drasha. Parenthetically, by the way, not everyone is in agreement with Tosfos over here, but Tosfos in our daf is very clear, and so I went over Tosfos in today's daf. Anyway, the Kiddush on Friday night is Daraisa. The Kiddush ala yayin, according to Tosfos, is a Darabanan, and the Kiddush that we say on the second meal on when we come home from shul on Shabbos morning, we have our second meal. So that kiddush is darshan now from psukim, but it's clear that it's a lesser degree of kiddush. The Gemara later in the Torah calls it kiddush rabba, right? The great kiddush, which is a euphemism. It means it's kiddush minor, and that's also darshan now from the Braisa as well. Speaking of kiddush rabba, the kiddusha rabba. So Rav Asher was given the opportunity to say kiddusha rabba. They handed him a cup of wine. He didn't know what they were talking about. And with a little bit of fancy footwork and fast thinking, so he made a Borei Pri HaGafen, and and he received a tremendous yishar koach from everybody there. All the participants, as he then realized that that's what they were talking about. For the second meal, you make a bar prayer guffin. That's going to be your kiddush. Discussion in the Gemara over here. You wash your hands to sit down at the meal, but you didn't make kiddush yet. So according to Rabbona Merav, so somebody else should make kiddush, because if you make kiddush, that would be a hefsek. And the Gemara said that's not correct, meaning that's not Rav Shita. Rav Shita is that you can make kiddush, and that's not going to serve as a hefsek between the Netilas Yadayim and the Motzi that you're going to make. And the reason why it's not a hefsek, I mean, we didn't speak it out so clearly, but the reason why it's not a hefsek is because a hefsek is something that is not germane to what we're doing over here. Obviously, to have a meal on Friday night, so you need kiddush. Kiddush is a component of the meal. So kiddush is it's relevant. It's not an irrelevant topic to the meal. And so therefore, kiddush obviously is not going to be serving as a hefsek. Okay, we'll stop over here. And tomorrow we pick it up right in the middle of the Amud, Ba Minei.